Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sacred Divergence Radio, with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth, on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Listen in every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and join us in the chat room as we discuss music, magic, spirituality, and more.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Reverend Elizabeth Hamilton, bringing you another episode of Sacred Divergence Radio. And I believe this is our 76th episode. And tonight we will be discussing a number of things, including a little bit about the first priestess and first elder of the Karelian tradition, and the new first priestess co-regent, who is Lady Stephanie Neal. And we will also be talking about how to take charge of your life, and a little bit about rocks, everyday rocks, not crystals, not stones, rocks, as requested by Afterfove. So let us begin by diving into a little bit about the structure of the Karelian nativist tradition of Wicca. And I would like to begin first by explaining exactly what the first priestess is. The first priestess is the matriarchal joint head of the tradition. In this capacity, the first priestess is responsible for maintaining the sanctity of the Karelian tradition and its connection with the ancestors and the divine. The initiation of all priesthood, temples, and orders ultimately derive authority from this sanctity, and thus the first priestess. The first priestess also acts as chairperson for the Karelian Council of Elders. The incumbent first priestess is Most Reverend Crystal High Karel, who is currently retired in office. And the incumbent first priestess co-regent is Most Reverend Stephanie Leon Neal, who is active. And she is a very wonderful woman. I am honored to call her a sister and a friend. And she will bring much to this tradition in her leadership role. Now, the next position I want to talk about is the first elder, who is currently Right Reverend Wendy LaJoy. The first elder of the tradition is the principal advisor to the tradition heads and to the tradition as a whole. The first elder is chosen by the tradition heads and is the philosopher laureate of the Karelian tradition. The first elder is also responsible for overseeing the succession to the offices of the tradition leadership. Right Reverend Stephanie Neal, or Most Reverend Stephanie Neal, I should say, was acclaimed as first elder on the 29th of April, year 13 Aquarius. And I believe Lady Wendy was acclaimed on January 1st as first elder for the Karelian tradition, as a previous appointment that was announced at the lustration did not work out. But that's okay. Some things work out and some things don't sometimes. We have two new appointments, and I wish the very best to these lovely ladies. as they go forward in their Karelian career. And may the blessing be upon them, now and always. Let's see, what else can we talk about tonight? Well, I think I'm going to talk about a little bit about the Peace Weavers and their plans for the new year. The Peace Weavers have many ongoing projects. Let me bring up their group here to see if I can get like a summary or something of something that we are we're going to be doing. So, one of the things that we're going to be doing is smiling. Smile. Focus your inner peace and use your smile to send it outward to individuals, places, activities, issues, world, and the universe. Let peace radiate in every smile. Let your smile be your wand of peace. And that was written by Reverend Terry Helton Ott, who is Mother Peace Weaver. And you can check out the Peace Weaver's public page. Let me get that up for you. It is facebook.com/150-762-985-124-427. And this group is open to all who would like to weave peace with members of the Order of Peace Weavers. The Order of Peace Weavers sponsors this group, and they are a chartered order of the Karelian Nativist tradition. Membership in the Order of Peace Weavers requires application and a dedication to peace weaving. They welcome members of the Karelian tradition's inner and outer courts to apply, and they welcome the public to this open group to interact with members and co-create and participate in the co-creation of earthwide peace. And both English and Spanish members can join this group. I mean, you don't really have to be any nationality or whatnot to join the group. You can come from Switzerland for all we care. You just have to speak English, or you will miss much of what's going on. And there are also a couple of Spanish translators in there who can help out. But English is basically a requirement. So yeah, that's part of what's going on for the Order of Peace Weavers this coming year, which is also very exciting. And it has been brought to my attention, the situation in Oregon, and I must say that I am thoroughly disgusted by the lack of police movement on this. And it shows once again that Christian terrorists can get away with things that Muslim terrorists would never be allowed to get away with. You know, if it was a Muslim group doing what is being done in Oregon right now, there would be police swarming and surrounding the building and whatnot. And that has not happened yet with this militia group, this Ted Bundy militia group in Oregon. Let me bring up what Lord Donald Lewis wrote earlier today, and I will read it to you because I am in complete agreement with it. If I can find it. He might have removed it, but basically he was saying, basically, Christian terrorists are getting away with a lot more than they should be allowed to. And, posts you haven't seen. No, I want to see all the posts. Let me try going back in my timeline and finding it. Because I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling some more, attempting to find it for us all here so that I can read it to you. I am so sorry about that, folks. I had an internet connection issue here. But hopefully that will not happen again. And, oh, goodness. So, yes, let me get to this, post. Here we go. So, Reverend Donald Lewis writes, "And so it appears that one of the first major events of 2016 AD in the U.S. is an act of Christianist extremist terrorism. I am very curious to see what happens here and how this is handled, considering that their stated goals include bloodshed if they do not get their way. I truly feel that will define not only the year ahead, but the future of the nation. Not in an immediate way, so much as in an ultimate way. If anyone else but the Christianist extremists did this, we all know what would happen now. Can there be any question that there are Christianist extremists when they credit their actions this way? Quote, I began to understand how the Lord felt about the Hammonds, Bundy says in the video. Quote, I began to understand how the Lord felt about Harney County and about this country, and I clearly understood that the Lord was not pleased with what was happening to the Hammonds. If we allowed the Hammonds to continue to be punished, there would be accountability." Unquote. And what is this accountability? They say that they are ready to, quote, kill or be killed, unquote. So I think this is pretty clear. They intend for there to be death here, and mayhem. Since when is that acceptable? Can you imagine the reaction if these people were Muslim? We would have no question how to respond. Can you imagine the reaction if they were black? Christianist extremist terrorism is a huge threat in this country, and numerous people have died already. As a nation, we keep rationalizing these situations as being lone wolves and nutcases. Lone wolves do not crop up every few weeks. That is a wolf pack. As for the idea that they are nutcases, I think that goes without saying, and I don't see how it should excuse them. Do you think Daesh aren't nutcases? This is an organized movement that utilizes its least sane members very effectively, and which has staged many acts of public terror throughout recent years. It has claimed many victims through acts of single-target violence, as well as shot-up malls and theaters and clinics. Now it is going so far as to seize government buildings and threaten to hold them by bloodshed and use them as a base for more bloodshed. International terror is a terrible thing, and as a people, we are rightly concerned with it. But we really need to wake up to the threat of our own domestic terrorists and stop making excuses for them as they advance their agendas. And there is a link to WWeek.com. Militia group takes over federal building in eastern Oregon because the Lord was not pleased. So let me go here and try to summarize what is happening. Basically, a group of anti-government militia members have occupied the headquarters and visitors center of Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in Harney County, Oregon, apparently seeking to provoke a standoff with the federal government. Several of the right-wing militia members are sons of Cliven Bundy, a Nevada cattle rancher whose fight with the U.S. Bureau of Land Management sparked an armed confrontation with federal officials in 2014. Militia members have been traveling to the town of Burns, Oregon, in recent weeks in support of Harney County rancher Dwight Hammond Jr. and his son Stephen Hammond, who in 2012 were convicted of arson for setting fires on federal land where they had poached deer. The wildfires burned 139 acres of Bureau of Land Management property in 2001. In October, a federal judge sentenced the pair to 5 years in prison. The Oregonian reported earlier this week on escalating tensions as the Hammonds' prison date approached. J.J. McNabb, who has covered right-wing extremists for Forbes magazine, first reported this afternoon that militia members had seized the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters. They appear to be led by Ammon Bundy, one of Cliven's sons. The building that Bundy and his cohorts have occupied is this headquarters and visitor center, 30 miles south of Burns. It was closed for the weekend, and it shows a picture of the building. In a YouTube video released December 31st, Ammon Bundy says that God directed him to go to Oregon, a state he had never visited before. Quote, "I began to understand how the Lord felt about Hammonds," Bundy says in the video. "I began to understand how the Lord felt about Harney County and about this country, and I clearly understood that the Lord was not pleased with what was happening to the Hammonds. If we allowed the Hammonds to continue to be punished, there would be accountability." In another video, also posted December 31st, militia member John Ritzheimer bids farewell to his family as he prepares to drive to Oregon, where he says he is, quote, 100% willing to lay my life down in order to fight tyranny. And it gives a link to that video. Ritzheimer then directly addresses Dwight Hammond Jr., the convicted arsonist rancher. "It's real simple, Dwight. Do you want to die in prison, labeled as a terrorist by these oppressors," he asks, "or do you want to die out here with us as a free man? I want to die a free man." And there was an update also posted in this article at 10:02 p.m. on the date that it was published. I'll get that for you in a moment. Oregon Public Broadcasting reports that the number of militia members in the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters is likely between 6 and 12 people. The Bundys and militia media have claimed between 100 and 150 men are holding the building. Meanwhile, the Oregonian's Les Zates reports that Harney County has shut down its schools for the week. So not only are the lives of these militia members in danger, for they are being foolish and foolhardy, but the lives of our youngsters are being affected. They're supposed to go back to school this week, and now they're going to have to miss out on school for the whole week because of these nut jobs. So, Afterfove says to be careful about linking the ranchers with the nut jobs. It sounds like the nut jobs are just piggyback riding on the ranchers' problems. And I totally agree with you, Afterfove. That's exactly what they're doing. But the fact of the matter is these people are nut jobs. They are inciting terror and speaking about killing people and wanting a standoff with the police, for crying out loud, wanting the federal government to get involved in this. And that's not right. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And we need to fight it in every way possible. And, so it's 10:22, so let's take a little break, and I'll play some music for us to get us out of this, mood that we're in. Let me go ahead and play for us some Bone Poets Orchestra, Dirty Little Secret. I might have to find which one is the right one to play for you, because there are actually three labeled Dirty Little Secret in my deck here. So give me just a moment, and I will fire this right up for us. Okay, it's not that one. And it does not appear to be that one either. Okay, and it's not that one either. So let me pick another song. let's play Cry Freedom by Bone Poets Orchestra. Here we go.
Sings the mystery of of the all-expanding universe. Trust that brain behind your eyes to carve a space for us within the universal mind. And if it's up to us to bring some balance back, let it not be said it's courage that we lack.
reborn. The day of the longest night, the first the universe born. She returns, the lady of light, the virgin with babe in arms, newborn younglings nurse, the seedlings stir as winter snows melt, and the earth now day.
My sister stared in a void. the magic wool, you'll never be seen again.
Never be seen again.
I pray for peace. I pray for love. I pray for stability. I pray for the nation where I live. I pray for the world. Welcome back, one and all, to Sacred Divergence Radio, episode 76. Tonight, so far, we have talked about the incumbent first elder and first priestess co-regent of the Karelian nativist tradition of Wicca, and we have talked about the situation in Oregon, which is still ongoing as far as I'm aware. And we've listened to some awesome music. Let me give you those titles right now. Let me scroll up. The first one you heard was Bone Poets Orchestra, Cry Freedom, followed by two songs from Castelia Alexandrian. One was an instrumental, and that was Open to the Elements. And the second one was The Wheel in Its Turning. And finally, I played Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Tattered a Million. Yes, that's a mouthful to say. Tattered a Million. And let us take a moment to send love, light, and healing to our dear friend Afterfove, who has come down with the flu and had to leave all of a sudden, although he promises that he is listening. Let's take a moment and do that and see him surrounded by a glowing green light. And the light suffuses him and heals him and takes away the illness. And heals him and suffuses him and takes away the illness. And let that image fade now and know that it's doing its work. So, I would like to now talk about 10 ways to take charge of your life and find happiness. And I'm taking these. I'm going to read to you some from the theabundanceproject.com. And this was posted last year in February, I believe. Yes, February 12th, 2015. 10 ways to take charge of your life and find happiness. Number 1. Make up your mind. Decide what you want out of life, and then plan to take charge of your life. Not just the big things, but the seemingly unimportant things too. Really take the time to analyze your circumstances and decide what you want. There may be small things you do because you feel like you have to, but you don't. Decide what you do want and make those things happen. Everything you decide you want in your life may not happen right away, but if you've truly made up your mind, they will happen in time. Number 2, let the loudest voice be your own. There are so many people all around us all the time that think they should speak up about how our lives. Well-meaning friends and family tell us every day what they think we should do and how you should take charge of your life. Sure, they may have some good advice, but they are not you. They do not know what your dreams are and they can't possibly know exactly what you're feeling. Although receiving advice can be helpful, there is no voice that should be louder than your own. Put everyone else's voice on mute and listen to your inner gut. Do what you feel is right for you. Number 3. Speak positively in your own mind. In order to take charge of your life, your inner voice must be positive. If you are running the show, you better be confident. Whenever fear creeps in or negative thoughts start to overrule, acknowledge that they are there and move on. As quickly as you can, get back to a place where you know you can succeed. Soon, you will train your mind to think positively and be confident with your own capabilities. Use the power of your thoughts to propel you forward through your life. Number 4. Get up and get busy. Instead of letting life rule you, you've decided that now you're in charge. What an amazing change, right? But in order to be in charge of your own life, you have to get up and get busy. Nothing you want to experience in life is going to just happen. You have to go out into the world and create your own experiences. If you've always wanted to fall in love, you have to start dating. In order to start dating, you have to meet people and socialize. You will never socialize if you're sitting at home, but you might if you get yourself up and get yourself out with friends. Along the same lines, if you've always wanted to be fluent in French, you have to sign up for a class and study. You have to get busy. Number 5. Rethink the why. We've already discussed in number 1 that it is important to make up your mind about what you want to do. However, another important component of taking charge of your life is to analyze what you want, why you want what you want. Make sure you are doing things for you. It is your life, after all. Make sure that you're not doing what your parents want you to do or what your friends are all busy doing. What you should be doing every day is what you really want to do or taking the steps to get to what you really want. Life truly is too short to waste time pursuing things you're not interested in. Strive for your goals and spend time doing things that make you happy. Number 6, and we're all guilty of this one. Stop procrastinating. Ask yourself this. If you've died tomorrow, what would be your greatest regret? Is there anything in life you've always wanted to do, but you just keep putting it off? Take charge of your life by putting an end to procrastination. Start doing those things that you've always wanted to do, and start becoming the person you want to be today. Number 7, take responsibility of your life. Stop blaming your life circumstances on anyone or anything. You are in charge. So start taking full responsibility of your life. When there's no one to blame but you, you might just find that you start doing something to improve your circumstances. Once your thought process changes and you take responsibility for your own life, you will realize that what happens to you is entirely up to you. Number 8. Prepare yourself. Seneca, the Roman philosopher, said, quote, "Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity," unquote. Prepare yourself for whatever you aspire to. Maybe it's something small, like learning to paint or going on a morning run 3 times a week. Or maybe it's something big, like being a better father or landing the perfect job. Whatever it may be, prepare yourself mentally and physically, and you might just get lucky. Number 9. Do not complain. But not least, don't complain, ever. Complaining does absolutely no good, period. When you feel like complaining, take action. Start to analyze your complaints and decide whether there is anything that can be done to fix them. There is almost always something to be done. Do it and stop whining. You are in control now. Number 10, start now. Take charge of your life by making a list of all the qualities that the person you want to be possesses. Once you have your list, don't waste any more time. Start being that person. Do as many of those things as you can every day. If you've always thought that one day you would wake up early enough every day to watch the news and read the paper before work, then start doing it today. As Bob Dylan wisely said, quote, act the way you'd like to be, and soon you'll be the way you'd like to act, unquote. And there are also a few things I would like to say about rocks today. Plain old rocks, yes. And this is at a request from Afterfove. And he's like, rocks. Good, old-fashioned, ordinary rocks. And I asked, well, what about them? What about them do you want me to talk about? And he's like, what about them? Everything. We built our first homes with them. You can store heat by the fire with them. They are a weapon of war, or a focus of grounding. There is even a holiday for them called Old Rock Day. It's always January 7th, although Terry Milton, the Stone Lady, says it's January 6th. So the 6th or 7th of January, which is coming up here in just a few days, Old Rock Day is an important opportunity to enjoy and appreciate old rocks and fossils. Perhaps you can start a rock collection. You can go out on a field trip in search of old fossils, the rock kind. Or if you choose, you can just play with old rocks. There are a lot of fun-filled yet ill-defined wild and wacky holidays. This is one of them. There is little information available on what this day was truly meant to mean. So, the interpretation and means of celebration is left up to you. By definition, fossils are old rocks. Jewelry stones are old rocks. And coal is an old rock, too. You can celebrate any or all of these old rocks today. Or on this day, I should say. And Afterfove also had the feeling that the new year is about all the good things that can come from being a rock. Rock and roll. Rocks polished by the rivers and the tides. That's where his mind is at, he says, referring to Reverend Don's vlog, Stone Circle, in which Afterfove asks Lord Don his opinion on why he feels the need to physically construct a circle when he does magical working. And there are two answers to that, and I will leave you all to go look that up. Reverend Don's vlog, Stone Circle, on YouTube. And you can watch it for yourself. I'm not going to repeat the Chancellor. He speaks very well for himself on this matter. So that's where Afterfove's mind was at, and he just wanted to share that with you. And he says that stones are for grounding and taking charge of one's life, and the process of making dreams a reality. And that, my thought is that depending on what we're looking for, whether it be amplification of energy, or stabilization, or transformation, we can use any number of stone arrangements to do this. For example, the circle, the stone circle, and Lord Don does point this out in the vlog, is used for amplification of energy. The triangle is used for transformation, and the square is used for grounding and stability. And so, we have that to think upon. You know, it's true that we did use rocks first to build our homes, and cave dwellers wrote on the walls of the caves with paints and such, and I think that's very fascinating to think about. So I will leave you all with that thought, and go and appreciate Old Rock Day. I wonder if we should start a theme here. If we should have the last quarter of the hour dedicated to a wacky holiday. I think that might be fun. You never know what you're going to get on Sacred Divergence Radio. It's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and that's how I like it. So, I'm going to leave you all with Darb the Bard's The Pipes of Pan. It's about 5 minutes long, and then we'll go ahead and play our outro and say goodnight for the evening. And so that's it, everybody. I wish you all a wonderful, happy, healthy week, and a very happy new year to everyone around the world. And may we all be blessed this coming year, and may we all seek and find what we are looking for. Blessed be everyone. Good night. Nectar of love is on her skin.
All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold. But how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land? All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold. But how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
Thank you for listening to Sacred Divergence Radio with your hostess, Reverend Elizabeth and friends on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Have a topic for us to discuss on air? Connect with Reverend Elizabeth at sacreddivergenceradio@gmail.com and on Twitter at SDivergence with hashtag TopicHack. See you next week at 10 p.m. Eastern here on Sacred Divergence Radio and the Spiritual Unity Radio Network.